There we go. Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, John Saxbury, here at Revival Now. I want to come talk to you today. It's called Why Preachers, especially preachers, Christians, the whole nine works, the whole nine yards, should not be tucking their tail. It's called Need to Stop Tucking Your Tail. What's going on in the things we need to stand up and fight? When we're faced with standing in the face of adversity, we need to stand up and fight. We've got things going on in our nation. I've got things going on in my health. And it's not time to back down. And I'm going to tell you why. People think, oh, well, look at what they did up in New York. Okay, some stupid jackass governor named Mario Cuomo signed some bill makes it okay for a woman to kill her own child. Oh, well, it's not a child until it's born. Are you stupid? What part of stupid were you born from? I mean, serious. I mean, to sit there and say that innocent little baby inside that womb is not a child because it's not born yet. Are you stupid? I mean, you kind of idiot. Goes on and preaches that kind of stuff. I mean, even believes it. I mean, this country, I mean, the values is so upside down and backwards, it's unbelievable. And the church, the first thing a pastor wants to do is just start, well, we want to talk about this over here. We know this is going on. We don't want to make any waves, so I'm just not going to talk about it. I know that they're wanting to do this and that and with our school systems, we just don't want to talk about it. When has ever the Bible said to back down from something? When has the Bible ever remotely said it's okay to sit there and back away from something and just kind of cower out and go hide in the cave? And just kind of like let it be brushed off. Let it just kind of like, let's pretend like it doesn't happen, you know. Let's just pray the rapture comes so we can just up and leave. We've got a work to do, folks. I'd rather stay down here and stay in the battle and enjoy the fruit of the victory, the fruits of our victory, if you ask me. I mean, all throughout the Bible, I mean, it talks about about the greatest fights in the midst of the greatest fights in the biblical history, that they never once backed down. They never once backed down. Never once. Perfect prime example. The biggest battle of ages. Bigger than Andre. This is the prelude, the precursor to Andre. Who remembers Andre Giant and Hulk Hogan versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3? The biggest. This is where it came from. Actually, this is where Vince McMahon actually got this idea from. And it comes from this epic battle in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story about David and Goliath. That's actually where he got that theme from for Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. I mean, behind the scenes, they were the best of friends. I mean, it was set up to where Andre was actually going to win. And it was going to make it look like set up to where Andre was going to win, but it wound up. Vince went ahead and went with the David versus Goliath theme, and the outcome was that Hulk Hogan came up still the champion, and it made the whole, and it switched from, because at the time Andre the Giant was the one who carried the professional wrestling on his back for a long period of time, and his body was getting tired, he was getting to where he was getting weak and wore out, he couldn't carry on as much anymore, so they had to somehow get Hogan worked into the mix, so they put them in together, and they wound up, Hogan defeated Andre the Giant, the place went crazy, Hulkamania started running wild, even 10 times more, and it went on and on and on and on and on. Here, this is about something similar here. But this battle was real. This battle, David did not back down. David never once tucked his tail and walked away from the battle that was at hand. If you go with me to the book of 1 Samuel, as I said, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And he took off his staff, took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his scrip, even in a scrip. That scrip is a thing, that sling thing that they used to throw the rocks. And in his sling, was in hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and then the Philistine came to draw. Before this, Saul was going to lend him his armor. It just wasn't suited for him. David was a shepherd, for one. For one, David was a shepherd. He was used to taking out bears, wolves, lions, you name it, the big game type. He was the biggest game hunter you could probably in the history. He was one of the biggest game hunters ever, because that's how they survived. That's how, if you were a shepherd, you were out in the desert in the wilderness for years and years and years, taking care of sheep, and you ate by whatever you killed. So whatever he, in order to stay alive, he had to be able to kill some. He had to keep killing these animals off to keep the sheep safe. I mean, he was also a king too as well. I mean, he was a boy king. I mean, he was. And David wasn't no slouch like they make him out to be, this little, tiny, little, scrawny, little teenage kid that's barely hitting puberty. David was built like an ox. I mean, he was built. He was a man's man, even when he was a boy. Because he had this power and might of the Lord Jesus, the Almighty God in him. Because the Spirit of the Lord dwelled within him. The Spirit of the Lord was all over him. It was in him. He moved into the power of the Spirit. That would be outside of getting involved with that woman that was out there, he got caught in adultery with. I'm not talking about any of that. When he won some of the most epic battles known to history. Military history. He's epic. He's number one in winning battles in the midst of wars and stuff. I mean, David was not no slouch by any chance. And when this Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, and for he was but a youth, and ruddy and fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, I am a dog, that has come to me, thou comest to me. Saying, you're a dog, come here. Come with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistines weren't very good people. It was the Islam of that day. That goes to tell you anything. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give you thy flesh and thy fowls of the air. Basically saying, I'm going to feed you over quick. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. I mean, he was just calling Goliath out for who he really was. This day the Lord will deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all earth may know that there is a God of Israel." Basically saying, Dave was saying, Punk, you ain't got nothing on me. You ain't scared me the least. You're bringing a knife to a gunfight. And that's basically what the church needs to do today. Preachers need to grow a set. I mean, seriously, they need to grow a set. They need to get their stuff together. They need to quit backing down from things. Just because we're not here to be called popular. We're not in here to call popularity pleasers. We're supposed to be posterity presenters, a posterity of Christ, a posterity of the kingdom of God. Not be some people pleaser. Not some panty waist people pleaser. Yes, I said panty waist. I said jackass. I said all of it. Okay, get over it. It's time to grow up and put on your big girl pants. It's time for preachers to get it together. I mean, this has gone far enough. Far enough. Oh, we don't want to move of God because we don't want to worry about who we offend. We don't want to have this and this happen because we want to be able to please the right kind of crowd. So when is this book said we're supposed to be people pleasers? When was Jesus ever a people pleaser? Last time I read, he made more religious folks mad than you could shake a stick at. We've got to get back into this place where we were born from. That Acts chapter 2 church. We weren't afraid to die. We weren't afraid to say give. We didn't have give up in us. We didn't back down. We didn't go down without a fight. You can see here clearly with David, with the lion. He wasn't scared one bit. He wasn't scared one bit. He wasn't scared the least. He was saying, "Boy, you ain't nothing, boy. I've taken out the lions. I've taken out the bear. I've taken out every known vicious animal known to man. I've battled against cobras, asps, death adders in the desert. Because over in that part of that where David was from, there's snakes over there that will kill you." Dead. Their venom gets on your skin, you're dead within 2 minutes. It's just by being on your skin because it soaks in like that. In verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth thou not with sword, spear, and for the battle is the Lord's. And it came to pass, when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, then David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." In verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead," which is basically the Colt 45 of that day. You get hit with a stone, that's going clean through your skull. I mean, that ain't no joke. Verse 49, sunk it into his forehead, and fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and took and stood upon the Philistine and took the Philistine's own sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head, and therewith, and when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. That's the one thing we got to do. We got to learn how to cut the enemy's head off. We forgot to know how to fight in battle. We forgot to stand up and fight. We've learned to cower back. We've learned to go hide in a hole, tuck our tail and run. I mean, there's stuff. I mean, there's stuff that in ministry that I've seen that it just makes me livid. I mean, my pastor. I mean, I've even talked with this about my pastor in the past. I mean, it just makes me livid. Everybody wants to pack up and go home. You hear all this stuff going. Yes, there's stuff going on with the end times and eschatology's going on in the realm of eschatology. There's things happening in this world that it's lining up scripture, and everybody's ready to pack their bags, hit their heavenly bags, and we're going to fly on up into that sky. We're going to just take on off, and we're going to go on into glory. Yeah, okay. But what about the people that hadn't heard about Jesus? What are they doing? Supposed to go off into be handed over to the Antichrist? What are they supposed to do? Just hand them over to Satan? No, they're going to burn. Let them burn. Let them burn. We need to get out of here. Or are we going to stand up to the adversary and cut his ever-living head off? Hello, am I stuttering too much? Probably yes. We've got to stand up and battle, folks. We've got to take the battle that's at hand. We've got to take on what's in front of us. I mean, I've seen too many preachers tucking their tail. Not standing up for the things of God. Not standing up for what's right in their congregation. Allowing stuff that they're not even supposed to allow in the go on, but that they're want to be in, let them be in ministry anyway. I mean, there's one church that they're actually hiring pedophiles. They have a pedophile, a known pedophile, as a youth minister. Unknown, he's on a sex offender registry and everything. They're allowing him to work as a youth pastor. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And the offense happened in that church. Of all things. I mean, the only thing he deserves is a bullet between the eyes. I'm sorry. You touch my kid... You're gonna wind up with your head on the wall, mounted on a wall like a deer. I'll take you to the taxidermy. Trust me, if they did things like they did in the Old Testament against criminals and against these offenders, people would be singing a different tune nowadays. No, we got to have some idiot judge and some idiot. Sensitivity crap going on because they want to, they got to make, well, we got to be more sensitive towards them because they have feelings. Be sensitive when they're burying them 6 foot in the ground. Have all the sensitivity they want when they're 6 feet in the ground. Need a tall oak tree and a short rope is what they need. And yes, I do believe in justice. Outlaw justice. I mean, we've tucked our tail. The church forgot how to fight. It's all about entertainment. It's all about smoke and flashing lights. And some dress fad. It's like, really? I mean, we've... Oh, it's got to be this type of worship. That's just not my flavor. Worship's worship. If you actually look back on the worship songs we sing today, they're no different than the songs that was sang 1,600 years ago that they actually sang. That they're actually from lyrics. They're lyrics from old songs that was written 1,600 years ago. Seriously. They just put different music to it. So what's the difference if it's that person singing or this person? As long as somebody's doing it, as long as it's being played, so be it. So be it. I mean, we got to stop tucking our tail, though. We got to stop allowing things. We got to start standing up for what's right. We've got to start standing up for holiness. We've got to stand up for something. We need to get back into the cross mentality. Put it to the cross. We've got to hold the cross up to it. The cross is a dividing line. It's heaven, hell, right or wrong. We've forgotten what the cross means. It's not just a symbol of forgiveness. It's also a symbol of righteousness. The kingdom of God is all about righteousness. We forgot what righteousness is. I mean, we forgot how to stand up for what's right anymore. We've tucked our tail on that too. We've walked away from our values as a nation. It's okay for a kid to choose his own gender, really? He can create his own gender too in the state of New York. How can you choose your own gender? How is that even possible? It's simple. It's like this. Now let me take everybody to kindergarten. One's born with spout, one's born without. Say it again. One's born with spout, one's born without. One's born with spout, one's born without. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, we forgot that we're worried about our 501c3 being taken. Take it. I don't even have one. I pay taxes just to be able to run my mouth. Serious. I pay taxes. I get a regular business license, and I'll sit there and I'll be able to speak the truth. I don't care what abortion's wrong. Abortion's murder. It's downright cold-blooded. And the Democrats are making bank off of it. It's all part of the globalist agenda anyway. It's for global depopulation. And people, and we know what's sick about it? They got church leaders up there in New York, idiot pastors up there, stupid jackasses. They're not even worthy enough to be called pastors in my book. They're jackasses up there approving this thing. Thinking, oh, getting behind them. A bunch of church pastors standing with the governor of New York while they're signing a bill. You're not a pastor, you're a jackass. You think it's okay to kill an unborn baby? You're a jackass. I'm sorry. The preacher cussed. Why do I use jackass a lot? Because a jackass is unteachable. A jackass you can never train. A jackass does whatever it wants, regardless if it's going to get him killed or not. Jackass doesn't care about the repercussions. Look it up. Look it up on it's an untrainable mule. It's an untrainable mule. You can't teach them nothing. You can't show them nothing. They think that they know more. I mean, what kind of idiot pastor thinks God's okay with killing a baby? Seriously, what pastor in their right mind would think that God's okay with killing an unborn baby? Well, it's not born yet. So it's not really considered. The heck it ain't. There's a heartbeat there. That baby feels more pain than what you realize. They know that that baby feels pain. They just don't care because they're being enticed with almighty dollar instead of almighty God. They need to get saved. You need to get saved. And if any of you watching me on this, if any of you pastors that are watching, if you happen to hear this broadcast, you better email me begging God for your salvation. You better hit the altar of church and beg God for salvation. Because you're going to need it at the end. Populating heaven with murdered babies. Real pastoral. I mean, it just makes me angry. I just felt like I saw that on the news. I felt like ripping them right through the screen and just punching their lights out. Seriously. I'm thinking, who the heck told you that you're a pastor in the first place? What word Cracker Jacks box did you get your minister degree out of? Because that wasn't a minister degree. It was a lick. It was a box, it was a thing of lick on tattoos. David wasn't scared of anything. He wasn't scared of political leaders. He wasn't scared of anything, anybody, because he walked in the fear of the Lord. He knew that God was with him the whole time. Anytime he needed to go into battle, anytime that there was an army rose up against, the cards were against him. The chips were down. David always walked away victoriously, except for when he fell into an adultery. All the way up until he fell into adultery. And yes, David repented. God still exalted him as king. That doesn't... I mean, pastors, they do the things they're doing. Preach, and this is just not just pastors. It's other type forms of preachers. We got a guy up here in Michigan or Minnesota or whatever you call it, up there enticing women, hunting them down through Facebook and through social media, hunting them down and calling them his spiritual daughters and luring them in to give them money and he's giving them money to call them so they can call him, he can call him baby and tell him he loved him and tell him he loves him, but don't tell anybody else because church people are messy. I mean, seriously, what kind of person is that? What kind of jackass does something like that? And it's manipulation. I mean, seriously. I'm not tucking my tail. I'm not tucking my tail anymore. If I gotta spring up something that doesn't appease the politically correct, too bad. Wah wah wah. I'll go send you a box of Kleenexes. Email me. I'll give you my email at the end of the broadcast. I'll be happy to get your address, and I will send you a box of Kleenexes, and I'll send some of my... I got my daughter's got a couple old binkies laying around. I'll go send you one of those if you need it. Because I'm done with being quiet. I'm done with shutting up. Pastors have tolerated the things that shouldn't have even been tolerated in the first place. I mean, there's preachers online sitting there bilking people out of money to tell them that there's this big catastrophic event and the church is going to be caught in the middle of it and they're going to be a low food supply. All the grocery stores are going to be belly up and mass chaos in the streets. Well, guess what? Okay, yeah, I got you covered because I'm in partnership. I'm a part owner of this company that does these meal ready to eat. Okay, and I'll cut you in on a deal if you send me $5,000. I'll cut you in on a deal and I'll supply you if you send me a couple grand a month or a year, what have you. I'll send you some of them. I'll supply you up with pancake batter. He was selling these buckets of pancake batter, and some old lady called up all scared and all worried about the solar eclipse happening, and he was using the solar eclipse that we had here was a complete full eclipse, total eclipse. It's a total eclipse of the heart. No, sorry, wrong song. That song popped up in my head. Anyway. And this old lady called up all frantic and nervous, and she bought like 50 buckets of this stuff. And she'll never be able to use it. It's pancake batter. I mean, I probably wouldn't even be able to use a quarter of that bucket, nonetheless 50 buckets of the stuff, 5-gallon buckets. I mean, who in their right mind tells them that, I mean... thinks that this stuff is okay. And and this person I'm talking about was in trouble before, and he did time in jail for the same crap that he did before back in the 80s. Bilking people, had Heritage Land theme park. That's right, I'm talking about Jim Baker. Sitting up there with this phony crap. All this theme park that he's built down in the Ozark Mountains, and people are giving billions into it. Hello, did you learn? Did you not learn the last time? I mean, seriously. Calling people out. I mean, that's right. I'm calling people out because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing it. God's had enough. God told me at the beginning of this year, this is the year that I'm going to make preachers need to start repenting. They either need to repent or get out of the ministry. They can't have one foot in and one foot out. It's either all or nothing. It's time to quit tucking our tail, folks. I'm not tucking my tail any longer. We let a nation, we're grinding up babies in abortion mills, and it's okay, and we just walk by, not saying a word about it. Oh, we don't want to make no liberals mad. We don't want to make these liberals mad. We don't want these liberals mad at us. I'd rather die and go to heaven with a nation full of people mad at me than go to hell pleasing a nation full of... I'd rather go to heaven with a displeased nation than go to hell with a displeased Lord. Come on, somebody say amen. I know somebody's out here listening to me on this. I know somebody's out here watching me. This is the truth. I don't care. Everybody can be mad at me. But there's one person I don't want to go to the end of my life displeased at me, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm not a people pleaser. Preachers need to quit being people pleasers. I mean, there's this church that it's nothing but people pleasers. I could sit there and tell the name off the top of my head. I know the name right now. They're nothing but people pleasers. It's all about what they can do to be socially correct. It's all about who they're in with. It's a popularity game. One's got to be better than the other one. It's a competition, and it's get with the program, folks. Get with the program. It's time to get with the program. It's time to raise up a new standard. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Preachers that love the crowd and hate the people. Love the offering, but they hate the congregants. To give in, that give everything they have to keep that ministry running. Oh, as long as the offering's coming in good, they're saying good things about it. But once that money stops up, once that bucket stops, I love my pastor. He's cutting edge. I seriously do. I love him. He doesn't tolerate anything, any crap from anybody. He allows God to run the church for him. He can't be bought. Him and his wife, Tori, Pastor Tori, Pastor Josh, good, humble servants of the Lord. They do everything for Jesus because that's the way they were raised by their parents. Everything's done for Jesus. They don't care if they ever have anything. They don't. They don't care if they have anything or not. They don't. They just do what they do for the sake that they love people. They love God and they want to serve people. And they ain't tucking their tail. Pastor, you mean, I don't know who I'd ever want more mad at me. Pastor Donna and Pastor Tori or the Lord. At least the Lord would forgive me. I mean, I'm just teasing. My chances would be better off making a pit bull mad. That is one, there's one, two mamas there that will not tuck their tail at protecting their young. Pastor Josh and Pastor Rick, the same way. Two papa bears that won't tuck their tail at protecting their young and protecting the young of the church. Those are two servants that I trust with my life. Jack Harris the same way. Sherry Harris the same way. They don't tuck their tail. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, Basil Howard Brown, Gil Howard Brown, don't tuck their tail. There's not many preachers I like, but I do love them. There's a lot of preachers. I wouldn't spit on their grave. I wouldn't spit on them if they were on fire. But I would for them. I'd take a bullet for them. They know it too. Because they don't tuck their tail. They're not afraid to stand. They take a stand for what's right. We got to stop tucking our tail, church. It's time to repent. It's time to change things around. Why am I saying this? Everybody wants revival in this nation. Everybody wants an outpouring. Wants a move of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. I'm going to close with this. Everybody ready? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Wait a minute. You got to dig. God's saying, I want to hear something first. If you ain't repenting, I ain't pouring out. He's saying, ooh. That's a pop to the kisser. And I shall hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. Means somewhere along the line, he still hadn't heard it yet. He hadn't heard it yet. Too many lukewarm people pleasers. Too many preachers that want to be socially and politically correct. There was nothing politically correct about Jesus. He didn't care about being politically correct. He didn't care about being popular. He just came to hang on a cross so you can be forgiven. This is your chance. And if you're a preacher and you're hearing this, and you've heard it, if there's anything about this message that ever pertains about you, and you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you right now to say this prayer after me. Dear Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, to be forgiven of my sins and to be delivered of my trespasses and my iniquities. Father God, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you came that you could be crucified in a horrible manner, be beaten beyond recognition, so that I may be saved. Holy Spirit, come baptize me. Transform my life. Convict me. Lord Jesus, take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Baptize me, Holy Spirit. Immerse me in the oil of your oil and light me ablaze. Use me, fill me, and let me never be the same. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to get going here. I love you. God bless you. And have a great week in the Lord. I'm going to be on here tomorrow in the afternoon sometime. I love you. God bless you. This is a production of Saxbury International. That's the old ministry name. Take two. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministries, please email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or text me at 636 636- 368-6490. There's no money. I'm not going to ask you for any money. I just want to pray for you. I want to see help. I want to love on you and bless you with some prayer. God bless you. Thank you. And Jesus loves you.